Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Scott Holt.
Oh, hi.
Holt, is that how you say it, Holt?
Sure, yeah.
I first saw you at the Old Glory, and I was fucking dying in the back.
Oh,
you're
nice.
So mean on stage.
Yeah.
You're so ruthless. You're so, like, chauvinistic. But
mm-hmm,
then you're like a nice guy. I see you interacting with people. I'm like, look at this guy.
That's how I'm able to be that up there, is because I'm a nice guy in real life.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you talk about your process at all, or
writing
jokes, or
writing jokes? Yeah, I mean, I.
Sorry, we're in the stress factory. It's a little loud in here.
At least we have good music.
If you could focus.
Sure. My process is kind of just like, I guess I kind of stole it from Stephen Wright, where he says, sometimes it rains, sometimes it pours, sometimes it drizzles. It's just like going through life. If I come to a moment and I think something's funny, I'll make a note of it in my phone, and then...
Sometimes you get, like, 9 jokes a week. Sometimes it's nothing for 2 months,
right? Right, yeah. And then, like, some of them, sometimes the jokes are fully formed. Just the whole thing comes to me. Other times it's... I just have, like, the ending or the beginning or just a word or just a phrase or something somebody says, then I have to work it out. I mean, what I really do is I'll take notes on my phone, and then at the end of the month I email it to myself, and then... I'll sit down and go over that month's work and try to sit down and write on what jokes I think are, I'll put them into folders, good, bad, ugly, and the good ones I work on.
Do you ever put out an album, or how long are you doing it? How far away, how many years do you think you're away from your first album?
So, it's a weird question. I'm 7 years in. I took 2 years off. In the middle there. I'm from New Jersey, but I actually started out in California, in San Diego. I lived out there for 4 years, L.A. for 1 year. I think I have over an hour's worth of material now, and I could be comfortable doing an hour. I think I was planning on doing one for... Ryan Rummel and I kind of run a show. It's his show, but I help out a lot with it. Riff Off a Cliff up in Jersey City, and he kind of gives me a lot of leeway there. And I was gonna try to do an hour for like my birthday and invite a lot of people. But my birthday month was Max Antonucci was going away, so that turned into his going away party.
Other people are disgusting.
So at one point, I'm still a ways away from, I think, doing an album for sure. I think I almost would rather have somebody ask me to do it rather than do it. You know what I mean? So I think I'm going to start working on doing hours eventually, and then you got to do that a bunch of times before you feel comfortable, I think, enough to do an album. But I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway,
2 years away.
You're married.
Yes, married.
I look at your ring. You say some mean things about women on stage, which I appreciate.
Sure.
Have you ever wrote something at home that you go, oh, I can't.
Oh, yes.
I can't do this.
Yeah, there's certainly jokes I throw out. There's things I don't say. The worst part is, though, people give me jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, I can't say this, but you can say this. And then they give me the most terrible joke I've ever heard.
What are some mean jokes that you didn't say or you're still... or the meanest joke that you currently do that sometimes you're like, ooh, I don't know if that felt right.
Yeah, well...
Because you go hard.
I go hard. I don't know. I like taking risks up there. It's fun. And it's... I'm okay with, half the audience not liking me. I think that's... It's okay for that to happen, I go hard because I think, those are the jokes that make me laugh the most, So... if I get a bunch of people not liking me, but I get someone like holding their stomach in the back, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
I'd rather one person really, really enjoy it than everyone else just think I'm okay. So that's my philosophy. Jokes I haven't. That's a good question. There's jokes. I guess I do them all and then retire them once I realize they're not. I got a bunch of really bad... My wife doesn't come see me anymore. One Asian joke goes too far, and then she doesn't believe in me anymore. But, I don't know. The one joke, I guess... I'm just giving away jokes here.
If you could get... I mean, one that's like that that pushed your limit where you're like, I don't know if I should say this anymore. Or like one that like almost made a fight happen in the room, anything like that.
Yeah. Okay, we're just going worst jokes. That's what you want me to do.
Yeah. If you don't mind.
Sure. One joke I semi-retired. I save it for like Staten Island or places.
Yeah, there are animals anyway.
Yeah, you can just
they
do
no
it. You
souls.
Can say whatever you want, and they love it.
Yeah.
I talk about I get into a lot of different stuff. There's a little bit of an act out in it, but I get into how I don't think. Well, first I get into how much I love monkey shit, and I love going on jungle gyms, and I love climbing trees.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's all sorts of midget stuff attached to that earlier. And then I say how I don't know why being called a monkey is such a bad thing. And then you get into racist stuff there. And then I say, but I think of all people, I think Asian people should be called the monkeys the most. I mean, have you ever seen a Korean person next to an orangutan at the zoo? You can't tell who's who. Have you ever seen a Mongolian person waiting for a train? And when I squat down, this is how they wait for buses and shit. Have you ever seen a Japanese person throw shit? And then you reach underneath and you pretend to throw shit like chimpanzee. And you go, they have the same form as a chimpanzee.
Is that the one that your wife was like, I'm not going to come see you anymore? Do stand up?
No, that didn't really happen. She just doesn't come anymore. I just say that.
It's going to keep your lives separate.
Yeah,
keep
she's seen enough. But that's usually I'll say like a terrible Asian joke, and then I'll go, most people, black best friends, not me, Asian best friend. And I ran that joke by him. He said that joke's fine, so don't worry about it. But you want to hear a joke he said wasn't fine? And then I'll sell that joke. But yeah, the wife one, I love this joke, and I still say it a lot.
Hey, I'll say this. I'm sick and tired of this patriarchy. I'm done with it, right? Okay, most of the time ladies clap or move there, but, I get it. We're still in charge. I'm done with it, man. Let's put some ladies at the top, right? Then I'll suck on some clits on the way up, right? And I'll move on much faster. I'm tired of these dicks in my mouth all the time. I don't like them. I'm going nowhere.
I love watching you perform because you take risks. And it's like, I would probably get scared because I would see the four old church ladies in the back. And then I would like go back and look at my notes and go, I'm not going to do that.
No.
I think you have none of that on stage, which is what I appreciate.
Yeah, if I see old ladies, I'll do my old lady bits right after.
Yeah, you dirty whores.
Yeah, no, if I could call them old and stuff, ask them their weight. But no, I get mad sometimes when, like, I did a show, I have a bunch of Indian material, and I did a show at Broadway Comedy Club, and it was just like all white people in the audience, and they just weren't with it and got mad at me, and then I yelled at them because literally a week prior I did a show for an all Indian crowd. It was 100% Indian people. And I did my Indian jokes, and every single Indian joke I did, they gave me an applause break.
Yeah,
like, people like when you make fun of them.
They were like, they felt like they had to feel bad because those people aren't in the room.
It's so stupid.
Vicariously, like, oh,
sticking
you can't
up
do
for
that.
Them, sticking up for them for no reason. You don't know how they feel about that joke. Like, they know they smell like curry. There's no harm against that. What's wrong with that? It's okay.
They cook with it constantly.
Yeah,
so
it's okay.
It's not that much of a secret, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. And then,
if I say, what's Indian food? It's chicken curry, beef curry.
Curry.
That is what Indian food is.
Curry. I'm allowed to say Indians and
you
curry.
You would say, like,
stage.
Oh, Italians smell like parsley and garlic. It's like, yeah. Everyone in my fucking family smells like parsley and garlic.
Are you Italian?
Yeah.
Of course,
My mom's side, my dad's German-Irish, but my mom and all the cooking that happens in my family is Italian.
You have one pot?
Oh, yeah.
It
adds flavor.
Of course.
You even melt down, like, extra recyclables in that same pot. It's fine.
Throw your bottle caps in there as you walk by. I get it.
It adds to, you drank that beer. You lived your life, to it. You can, like, even, like, if someone, like, gets bit by a skunk or something, you fill it with tomato sauce and pour it on.
Yeah.
It's just a part of the family. It's like the dog.
Do you name it? You should name have a name for the pot.
It's just, like, Graham, I guess.
I like it.
Because it was inherited from Granny.
Yeah.
You live in Jersey City. You get out to Manhattan a lot. You take the PATH train in there. You use that, motherfucker.
I take the PATH on occasion. I actually drive a lot. There's way more parking than you think. I shouldn't be telling this. This is a secret. But there's
in
so
Manhattan?
Much, in Manhattan, dude. You park wherever.
Yeah, it's only for me. It's like the 18 buck fucking Lincoln Tunnel fee or whatever. Yeah. And then the $40, but you say you find street parking?
Street parking all the time. Another secret, though, I have my company's Easy Pass.
So
super helpful.
What do you do for a living? Why do you got the sweet Easy Pass on the company dime?
Electrical work. I work for a small family company, so they're just pretty lenient with everything. It's
It's like, it's on the bill, whatever. I wish they'd take Easy Pass at strip clubs and shit like that, you know what I mean?
How nice would that be? Just walk in for cover charges with the fucking Easy Pass in your hood?
It is a baller move. I wish I had enough money. Like, you can, if you park in Newark Airport parking lot, they take Easy Pass there.
Oh, really?
But they're going to charge that motherfucker. Sure. It's going to be like $35-$50 a day.
I didn't know. That's good to
know. But that would be the ballerest move ever, to just be like, fuck this. Boop. Park my car. Boop. Boop. You don't got to talk to nobody. You don't got to charge nothing. It's all on the Easy Pass. Yeah, you know what I mean?
There's the Italian.
Hey,
you don't got to talk to nobody.
They're like, why do you smell like garlic? You know, it's always with the questions. I'm Italian, motherfucker. Indians smell like curry. You can't say that. You can't say that. I could say that to an Indian's face.
Of course, they'll laugh and applaud, even if it's on the street.
Three applause breaks? What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
You're winning. It's
We're
allowed.
Pretending they don't cook with the one spice they have? Are you out of your mind?
You're pretending they don't have arranged marriages? That's what they do.
It's because he comes from a good family. He's got four ox and tons of fucking curry.
You match him up accordingly.
All right. How did you propose to your wife? First question. And did you start doing stand-up after you got married or before? Does she let you go out? Or is it like, are you going to stay home? Any kids?
No, she... so she allows me to do stand-up as much as I like. It's beautiful. She's a fantastic wife. We met in college, and I pretended to not go to her five-year reunion, and then I had her friends drag her to the front of the main building, and I proposed to her there. And, super romantic. See, this is why I'm allowed to be an asshole on stage, because I'm a good
you're
guy.
I see what's going on. You're a nice guy, and then on stage you're a fucking animal. And I'm like, that's the best, save it.
Yeah, that's how you got to let it out. My release, because we're all fucking animals.
Where'd you go to school?
Providence College up in Rhode Island.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And you study electrical work?
And I studied history. I went in as a history major because they're more likely to let in history majors, because it's like a major that they want to keep in the school, but no one fucking goes for history majors. So if you go in, you kind of get bumped up the line a little bit faster on the waiting list. And I knew that because I have some family connections to the school.
So the dean was like, English, I don't know. I don't know what I could do for you there.
We got too many broads studying the words.
Looking at my old yearbooks, a lot of history in there. You know what I mean? A lot of history. I've been going down memory lane. You catch my drift? You catch my drift? I'm the dean of this bitch.
That's what he tells. That's weird. Were you in the room? That was the exact conversation he had with me.
I know some people. I'm connected.
You're Italian. I get it. So then I was like, I'll just go in as a history and change it. And then I just never changed it. And there were so little requirements for a history major that I had the most electives. Like I had it was the most elective producing major. So I just kept it. And then who the fuck cares what you have in college? It's all people who you know after.
That is interesting, because with history, it's not quantitative. It's not like a biology major should be able to work in any lab and be okay, or a nursing major should be able to give a tetanus shot. It's like, some stories?
Yeah, I know. Well, I forgot it all. And I was just fucking drinking it on drugs. I failed out, got appealed back in. I know people at the school. But I don't remember anything. It was a waste of time.
I can't let you back in. I got this banana. There's always an appeal. You hear me? There's always an appeal.
Boo. There's people booing over there. Boo.
I would say to an Indian person's face, you eat curry. Oh, you're mad on behalf of somebody. All right. You're connected. You got back in. What drugs were you doing? You were going out of your mind?
Literally anything, man. I was, I don't know. I kind of had a mental breakdown and then left the school. I was taking a philosophy class and a psychology class, and they were clashing, and it was messing with my brain. And
the metaphysics of it all? Philosophy and...
And, like, just abstract thoughts turned with just people like, no, we can explain everything. These are all synapses, and everything in your brain works for a reason. And I'm like, but what about...
And then it's Connecticut. You're snowed in every day with your books, your homework.
Oh, man, I did no studying. It was all cramming. It was Adderall right before a test and then take the test and pass. Cheat. I was cheating all the time. I'd pay off janitors to let me into teachers' offices in the library. I was just...
Oh, to get the textbook, answers. Oh, yeah. You got the test.
Oh, you get the test. Yeah, I was doing everything to get by. I was cheating off people. I was writing on water bottles. I was... saying I had to go to the bathroom and had all the notes in my pocket.
And then you throw ecstasy and acid on top of
any drug that came my way. I wasn't in the business of turning around drugs. It was college.
So then you were getting all paranoid.
Yeah, that was fucking
they know.
Hey, well, guys, if you signed up, come on up to the bar area.
Come on
All right.
Most of the time, guys see girls with fat asses, right? And they go, damn, girl, that's sexy. Not me. I see a girl with a fat ass and I go, damn, girl, it's got to be hard to wipe. I'm just like, there's a lot of juice in that caboose, You gotta clean that up. No, hey guys, come on, stop. I'm married. And my wife really hates the Second Amendment. It's like, I stuck a gun in her mouth one time. let it go already. It was last week, Relax.
You just went on stage. That was a good time. How you had an Adderall story. You were in college. You were taking too much Adderall.
Oh, right.
What happened?
So I was taking Adderall, and I did it, they usually last like 5 hours or so. So I did it. It was like a two-hour-long test. So I did it for 3 hours. I was studying, and I was in the heat of the Adderall.
Right before the test.
I'm cramming, I'm peeking, and then I get into the test. I quickly look over all the questions, and then I raise my hand, and I go, can I go to the bathroom? And I go, yeah, no problem. It was early enough, it seemed like not a scam to them. Went to the bathroom, sit down on the toilet. Now I'm going over my notes to get all the answers to the questions now that I now know are there. And I sit down, and I go, I got to sit down.
Like on Google? Like on
no,
your cell
I have
phone?
My in my notes, in my,
oh,
my
okay.
pocket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think we had Google on cell phones then.
So, did you leave them like in a potted plant
in my
next
pocket,
to the bathroom?
Just in my pocket. It was so simple. And I gave up caring about cheating at the end. It was all just right.
They're not checking your pockets.
No, of course not. So I go in the stall. In case someone walks in, I got to be in the stall. So I sit down to pretend like I'm shitting, pull my pants down. And, I'm pissing, and then I'm looking at my notes. But I'm so much on Adderall, I don't realize what's going on. I'm just so concentrated on the notes that... my dick never went in the toilet, and I just pissed all over the leg of my pants and my leg. And so then I realized after I get up to, I was like, oh my fuck, I just pissed all over. So then I had to go in a 2 hour test, and I just smelled like piss for the whole, like everyone, I came back, it was just all on my leg and shoe. Yeah. But everyone around me had to be like, what the fuck is wrong with
right,
this guy?
Right.
But the first time I ever took
so you were sitting in the toilet and you were just like, what's up, guy? You were just like, oh, it feels warm. Bonus. It was cold today. It feels
didn't
warm.
Even,
great.
Didn't even cross my mind. I was just so concentrated on the notes. I couldn't feel anything. It was nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the first time I ever took Adderall was the first day of college. I walk in. My cousin knew somebody, and the guy comes up and he knows me. And he's like, hey, Scott, we're drinking in this room. So all right, go in the room. Walk in the room. He hands me a pill. I go, what the hell is this? He goes, just take it. I was like, all right. So I take it, pop my mouth. I was like, what was that? He's like, it's Adderall. It's for concentrating. Tonight, we're going to concentrate on drinking. I was like, okay.
Can I go back? Because the way you told your proposal story, so you're at your fifth year college reunion?
Her fifth year. She was 2 years younger than me. So
oh, okay.
Wow, we've been dating forever.
When oh, okay.
We got married, we were like together.
So you
years,
went up, back years. Up to Connecticut just to do this reunion thing, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, are you living together at this point? Or you got
we
separate
were.
Apartments?
We were living together. Yeah.
Oh,
we,
okay.
We lived together in California, and then we just moved back to New Jersey. So we're living together in Jersey, and then she went up. I told her I couldn't go. I waited a day, and then I saw her the next day at the front of the main Harkins
and
Hall.
And so what did you tell her
friends, like, hey, beat it. I'm trying to propose.
I told her friends, yeah, I said, get her there. Don't have her look like a sloppy, hungover mess. No buns. I hate women in buns, and my wife loves wearing buns. That was my only direction.
That's like me in sandals. When someone goes on stage in sandals, it drives me crazy. What?
Sandals and jeans? Get the fuck out of here.
See, jean, I don't mind a jean. I don't mind a jean. I don't mind a... You're wearing jeans.
Yeah, jeans and sandals.
But sandals and anything. Sandals and shorts, it's to me, it's like... disrespectful. I don't know. I don't need you to wear a tuxedo. I'm not that guy. Sandals just says, you know what? I was too lazy to go like this. So if I walk backwards a step, now I'm barefoot.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't mind. I can understand the sandals and shorts, but sandals and jeans I can't do. When I go to the beach, I wear like low top Converse sneakers or something like light sneakers.
I think when you go to the beach, you wear sneakers, you remove the socks. Okay, but you're still contained.
Yes.
Now you put your wallet in your sneaker, you run in the ocean, you run back. Classic.
Well, that's it. That's why you never wear sandals. You always got to be ready to run from the police.
That's what I feel.
Yeah.
I have a whole bit of it. I like girls in high heels also like annoys me because it's like, dude, I once like went on a Tinder date. I go, let's go dancing. We get there. She goes, I can't dance. I'm wearing high heels.
Kick
it's like
off.
We're going dancing, though.
Yeah, she knew originally.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to dump her right away.
Hey, you
want to
practice
smart.
Piano? I'm wearing mittens.
Yeah,
I'm wearing mittens,
not
though.
Not a smart person.
Oh, my God.
Get rid of them.
To me, it's like, how fucking useless are you trying to be? So you got a fucking rubber band staplers to your fucking feet? You fucking dumb. Yeah. You know? But that just for the same thing, it's like, you know, I want a girl that can climb a fence, like, if shit gets weird. Like,
yes,
we got to run
course,
for the cops. We're doing graffiti. We're shoplifting.
You need someone
you're
who's
mobile.
Down.
You're around.
You're a down-ass chick, of course.
Shoot somebody, bury it. Oh, no, I can't bury this body. I'm wearing sandals. Why?
I didn't ask you to a whole grave, a shallow grave, lady. You can't dig a
we're
shallow
at the
grave.
Beach. We just got to move the sand around. Put the body in.
Let me borrow your bucket, kid.
Look, did you bring the bleach? I just bleached my hair and I left it at home. Ugh. You know what I mean?
I know exactly
what I want an action lady.
Of course.
Ready for it. But sandals, to me, on stage in life, it's like, it's raining today. It's like, why would you disrespect? Now people have to look at your fucking feet.
Yeah,
you know
I mean, I was mad enough at his Eagle shirt.
And his act. Fucking terrible. It is weird when you go do open mics and it's like when five people in a row bomb, the show's over.
Yeah, and everyone checks out.
The show's over.
Everyone checks out.
Because it's like, I was paying attention to the last five people. It's like,
especially if there's five people in the audience, too.
Yeah.
Are you holding in laughter? You're allowed to let it out, sir. Please.
Good times. That girl you brought, I met her before also at Old Glory, and she used to run a show at McGinley Square Pub, right?
Correct, yeah.
What's her name again? I like that girl.
Angela Sharp.
Yeah, she's fucking great.
Oh, she's hilarious.
Good people. So are you done with your drug days? Also, what other drugs did you do? Did you do the cocaine?
Of course.
Were you doing the mushrooms? Were doing the acid?
Oh, God, I love mushrooms.
Was that just in college, or you still kind of do some
of
that?
No, yeah, California was big into it. Out here, yeah, I mean, if someone, I'm trying to be a comedian, right? I'm not in the business of turning down drugs. If anyone offers me drugs, I take it, you know? Give me the weird stories. That's what I say.
Uh-huh. So that's like you went there. It's like you blew the midget for the coke. It's like that's what's going in your autobiography. It's like, why wouldn't you do that?
Exactly.
I mean, if you get a golden ticket, you're in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, and an Oompa Loompa comes up to you and is like, I know how to get to the secret place, this chocolate factory. You're like, really? He's like, you gotta suck my dick first. I'd be like, you know what? You put me in checkmate.
Dude, I mean, it makes sense, right? You do a secret to get to the secrets.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like his dick is probably going to be like a fucking clitoris. It's not going to be a big deal.
Of course.
Put it right in your butthole. It's like, whatever.
Whatever he wants to do, just give me the secrets. But it doesn't. That's not going to be a hard dick to suck. And
right.
No one has to know. You keep that to yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what, the bagel was already warm? Yeah, I'll fuck that. It's like easy. It's like right there for you.
Bagels can't talk.
They can't call the cops.
Do you guys think Do you guys think midgets are little people? Like, I think you can say midgets. They got small ears. They can't even hear if you say it, you know? Do you think, like, midgets are attracted to babies? Like, they have the same kind of features, you know what I'm saying? Like, you see, like, beautiful people together and, like, emo people together. So maybe, like, midgets and not babies, you sick fucks, like toddlers. You know what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? How come you never seen any gay Indian couples walking down the block, huh? I guess they never arranged that. All right, guys, my name's Scott.
We have maybe this will just be a half hour, little podcast.
Yeah, no problem.
It's kind of freezing outside.
Yeah, no. Thank you for having me on. I brought you a cigar.
That was very nice of you. I tried to buy you beer. I'm like, you know, I'm into the gift economy.
Of course.
I owe you something. I'll get you a gift. What, you got shows coming up? What shows do you like to do?
Riff Off a Cliff is coming up Saturday, December 14th. I'm hosting. That's a good one. I got something in Staten Island.
Where is that? Riff Off a Cliff?
Jersey City. Yeah, oh, okay. Deep Space Art Gallery in Jersey City. Yeah.
Nice. I'm doing Old Glory, which is a book show, December 26th, day after Christmas. Nice. And I'll be at the Roast of Richard Dweck, which is December 22nd.
Oh, there you go.
It's going to be mad. At the Brighton Bar in 8 p.m. I'm the last roast person. I think I'm the headliner.
The coveted spot.
The coveted spot. I think I'm going to show up late because, you know.
Uh-huh. And drunk.
Maybe on drugs. You know.
Get those drugs, guys.
With a tranny. I'm just going to pick up a girl on the way with big old titties and be like,
gift, you know. You're in the gift economy, gifted to Dweck.
Yeah, give him a boner. Because like he said publicly, he hasn't had sex in 10 years. Oof. It's like if he just starts getting like pounded on stage, like it would be like, whoa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. This has been Highway Motherfucking Diary in the Bag. This is episode 238. With my boy Scott Holtz. What's up, bro?
Eric, thanks, buddy.
All right, take care.